Hello, folks. We're back. This is Larry Beecraft with the Larkin Rose Run as my guest. Larkin, before the break, we were on your videos, and now I'd like to kind of move into the trial. That they ultimately brought some charges against you. But if you are wanting to call into the program, folks, just you come over to the Republic website, call 1-800-313-9443, and we'll entertain your calls during this hour. So, Larkin, let's pick up. They did that search warrant, and when you sit down and you read that search warrant, they were like a bunch of little crybabies complaining about the exercise of your constitutional rights protected under the First Amendment.
Yep. And what really stunned me is nowhere in the search warrant or the affidavit did they allege that there was anything hidden or any evidence they didn't already have. It was entirely whining about, he has his website, he has his video, and he has his report, and he tells people about this stuff. And it just, you know, I at least expected them to do some decent lawyer spin and make it, you know, try to make it sound more like a crime. But it really was just whining about me speaking my mind and then trying to treat that as if it's criminal. And same thing with Dr. Tom down in Texas, who had funded the making of the Theft by Deception video. They raided him at the same time with almost the exact same search warrant. And it also just whined about, hey, make these videos, and, you know, it was just complaining about us speaking our mind. You know, we're not talking about a normal tax case where somebody's hid something or lied about their income or, you know, did something deceptive. And they even, in their own motions, the government said, well, he hasn't hidden anything. You know, he's not lying about this. We know about the income. So basically, their affidavit of probable cause was this big list of why they didn't need to raid me, because I already told them everything. I sent them copies of the video. I sent them my report. You know, they had everything they could possibly want, that my income was not only reported to them, but I went in and met with them and said, yep, that's our income. We got paid that much. So and it was funny because their own affidavit went through in detail how they knew absolutely everything they could possibly want to know, but that wasn't their goal. They weren't after evidence of a crime. They were after shutting me up. And it wasn't till a couple of years later that after all their giant fishing expedition, they decided to try misdemeanor willful failure to file as the only charge against us. After all this, you know, we're looking around for attempts to defraud the U.S. and tax evasion and all these fun felonies that just sort of disappeared along the way. Never mind, we just wanted that as an excuse to raid your house. And then they charged my wife and I both with willful failure to file. And we even got to talk to the grand jury, but it was very clear when we talked, because we kept sending letters to the DOJ. By weird coincidence, I sent in a FOIA request and ended up finding out that there was a grand jury investigating us. Well, quote-unquote investigating us. What that really means is they were sitting there while a prosecutor lied to them for a year and a half. If you can call that an investigation, they were investigating us. And we said, we want to talk to them. And we did, but it was really obvious talking to them that they had been completely indoctrinated and brainwashed by that time. You know, you walk in there and you get, I think Charles Manson would have got a warmer reception than we got. And it was really obvious that not only were we demonized the whole time, but nothing remotely resembling the truth or what we believe showed up. You know, the fact that one of the grand jurors asked me, can you just give me a general idea of what your legal conclusion is? And I thought, how on earth do you investigate someone for a year and a half for a tax crime and not know what his position is yet? It's because the government wasn't telling him. They were just telling him we're nasty people who don't pay their fair share.
Yeah. Hey, Larkin, we're at the top of the hour commercial break. Hey, folks, call in during the second hour. We'll be here with another hour of Larkin Rose telling us about his trip through the criminal justice system. Stay tuned.
Mm-hmm. The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. 9200.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com. Or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Well, folks, this is the Tommy Crier Show, and today his substitute host is me, Larry B. Craft, and my guest is Larkin Rose, who is now sitting in the Eastern Hills of Pennsylvania with his family and talking to us on a wonderful, beautiful fall afternoon. Larkin?
Yep.
Right before the break, we were talking about the search warrant, and then they brought charges against you. Can you tell us about whether or not you were anticipating this and what it was like to go to court and just lead us through the trial?
Yeah, I had actually basically volunteered to be the guinea pig. I knew the issue really well, and I didn't want to watch the government going after somebody else for this. So I basically volunteered to be their guinea pig and ran newspaper ads that said, "Dear federal government, please prosecute me." And it went on to say, "It's not because I'm breaking the law, it's because I refuse to do things the way you say when the law says I'm supposed to do them a different way. The law says I don't owe this tax. I'm not going to pretend I do just to make you guys happy." And so I was very vocal about it, and they certainly didn't like that. And even after doing that, it was still 4 years later that they indicted and decided to prosecute. And again, the only thing I was indicted for is misdemeanor, willful failure to file for 5 different years. So it was 5 counts of that. And I, from the beginning, I had, you know, I had seen the IRS up close and personal and realized, wow, these people not only don't know the law, they have no respect for it. They don't care what's true. They don't care what the law says. They have the attitude of mafia collectors. We're going to do whatever we have to. We're going to hurt you in any way we have to get your money. And that's the extent of their mental capacity. And so I expected more of the same from the Department of Justice and from the courts. I had no faith that they would do the right thing. One thing I had a little bit of faith in, and now I don't, is the jury of 12 presumably randomly selected Americans that the government has to convince that I'm a nasty, horrible guy who broke the law. And I thought, there's no way they can possibly do that, because one of the elements of every tax crime is the element of willfulness, which means if you're, the tax code is so insanely complicated that even the government admits that if you do what you believe the law requires of you, there can't be a crime. You know, the IRS can try to collect if they think you owe and you don't, but they're only supposed to prosecute if you intentionally broke the law. If you thought you owed it and didn't pay, or you hid something and lied about it and tried in order to get out of paying what you thought you owed. But it's not a crime to disagree with them. It's not a crime to do what you believe the law requires, even if you happen to be wrong. So there's this element that they had to prove, well, in theory they had to prove, they're supposed to have to prove, that I believe my income is taxable and I owe the tax. And I thought, there is no way on earth they can prove that. There's no way on earth they can come anywhere near proving that. I have this enormous paper trail, a mile long, establishing exactly what I believe and why. And all these meetings with the IRS where they flounder around and say, we don't really know why it says that, we'll get back to you. And I thought, how on earth are they going to try to prove that I believed I owed this? It's utterly absurd. And as it turned out, they didn't need to prove that. They just needed to demonize me and vilify me and call me nasty names, and that was enough.
Well, Larkin, you know, in a criminal tax trial, the intent of the defendant's most important.
Yep.
That's the central issue, willfulness, acting willfully, and that's defined as a voluntary and intentional violation of a known legal duty. And that means, generally, if you have a fact situation where somebody's filed returns in the past, they knew of the duty. And if they were working when they were filing and they're still working when they're not filing, that creates the inference that you're violating a clearly known legal duty. And most people, the jurors that sit on these cases, they're brainwashed to the American public. They've never looked at this. One of the things that impresses me about this tax movement is, a lot of people are in the typical population. They get exposed to what's being talked about and learned in this movement. And every time they look at the law, they say, hey, wait, there's something wrong here. I can't see where I'm taxed.
Right.
And then you go before a bunch of brainwashed people that think otherwise, that have never even looked at the law.
Right.
And we're fighting the theory of cognitive dissonance. Just everybody believes. You know, they sit there and have somebody say, oh, I don't owe the tax. And the first big problem that's got to be overcome with any juror is, this sounds incredible.
Right. Yep. And that's, you know, and I even mentioned that in my opening statement, is this took ages for me to be convinced of it myself. I have basically no hope of, in a couple hours, convincing them that I'm right. And I said, I don't even really need to do that. I'm going to demonstrate that this is what I believe, and if you even have a doubt about whether I believe I owe the tax or not, you have to acquit. You have to come back with not guilty. So, you know, I acknowledged how ridiculous it sounds and how ridiculous it sounded to me when I heard about it. But, yeah, there's that huge mental inertia of they believe what they've always heard, and they've never seen the law, and they don't know anything about it. They were where I was years before, completely clueless to the law, didn't even know where to find a thing. But I thought, how on earth is the government going to try to prove that I believe I owe the tax? I have just tons of evidence showing that I don't. And that was the, you know, the way I usually sum up for people the trial, if I have to sum it up in like 30 seconds, is the case was entirely about what I believed. That was the only issue in question. They knew, you know, they knew what I got paid. They knew I hadn't filed. I acknowledged all that. The only question was, did I believe it? So in a case that was completely about my beliefs, the government and the court made sure that the jury was not allowed to see my video in which I explain my beliefs, was not allowed to see my report in which I explain my beliefs, was not allowed to hear any of the radio shows I've done in which I explain my beliefs, was not allowed to see any of the letters I had sent to the IRS in which I explain my beliefs, was not allowed to hear the recordings or read the transcripts of the meetings I had with the IRS at which I explain my beliefs, was not allowed to see my websites in which I explain my beliefs, wasn't even allowed to see my Please Prosecute Me ads. In short, in a case completely about my beliefs, I was not allowed to introduce any statement I had made prior to court, but the government could introduce anything it wanted. And so basically I was forbidden from defending myself. Like, you have to show that you honestly believed you didn't owe it. Oh, by the way, you're not allowed to cite anything you've ever said or written or any of that. So it was basically, you're not allowed to defend yourself. They can come up here and vilify you, call you nasty names, say things that are irrelevant, and you can just pretend you believe it. I was allowed to cite some sections of the law until basically I think the judge started to realize it was making too much sense, and he started interrupting and arguing with me about it. So I was allowed to explain my beliefs a little bit on the spot, but I couldn't show those letter-writing campaigns. I couldn't tell them about all the CPAs and attorneys, including former DOJ and IRS people, who had come out and agreed with me publicly and said, wow, you're right. Their entire case was, well, we sent you this form letter and it said you were wrong. You can't believe you're right. You got this form letter. And one of, I don't know how many dozen really suspicious things about the trial, and they're all in a book that I'm almost finished, is the fact that at the meetings with the IRS, I said, well, these form letters are legally worthless. The regulations are what's binding. And they all said, oh, yeah, we know that. The regulations, they're binding on us. This other stuff isn't really. Every one of the government witnesses suddenly couldn't remember that. When I asked, didn't we talk about the legal, you know, significance of different documents? And at the meetings, they were, oh, yeah, the form letters don't earn anything. Because had they admitted that, or had the judge told them that, because I asked for that jury instruction, please tell them that different documents carry different legal weight. I don't have to follow their form letters. You know, their regulations are actually binding. The statutes are binding. These form letters are nothing. But I think there was a very orchestrated effort to make sure the jury never found out that those so-called notices were legally worthless. Because that was their entire case, is we sent you these dumb little form letters. You can't have believed you were right because we sent you a dumb little form letter. A few of them even. And so all their witnesses conveniently forgot that form letters carry no legal weight. Even though the same people knew it before, and I had them on tape saying it, but I wasn't allowed to play the recordings of the meetings. They were allowed to get up there and lie about what happened, and I had the recordings. No one was disputing that the recordings were genuine, but I wasn't allowed to play them. So they could go up there and lie about the meeting, and I had the proof already, you know, hooked up to their speaker system in their court, ready to play at a moment's notice. Judge said, nope, can't play that.
No. You, Larkin, let me, you had it plugged up. You don't get it yet. In closing, you wanted to use their computer to show your documents on the screen, and just right after their closing, oh, it messes up.
Yep, that happened too. That we got a bunch of exhibits ready to demonstrate stuff, and golly gee, the DOJ's system that we were using in the court suddenly didn't work.
Yeah. Well, folks, hey, look, after the break, call 800-313-9443. This is the Tommy Crier Show on a Saturday afternoon. Give us a call. Larkin Rose here. Bye.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill. It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Well, folks, we're back. This is the Tommy Crier Show. It's heard every Saturday, 2 to 4 on Central Time. I'd like to remind you that my program, the Larry Becraft Show, which for the last month has been hosted by DV Kid, it's also on this same network from 9 until 10 on Central Time, Saturday mornings. Larkin, during the break, I had our call board screener tell me we got a couple of calls that we need to take. Let's take them. Manny, you got them? Okay, let's go with Felix. Hey, Felix, glad you called in. What can we do for you?
Good afternoon, Larry. Been a long time since I talked to you. I tried that paperwork you gave me back about 96 for about 5 years. I couldn't get a judge here to touch it with a 30-foot pole, man.
Well, that's the way it is with these tax issues. You know, they're...
Yeah, they were scared to death, and they just, I mean, they come out and told me at lunchtime, you know, I met with several of them at lunch, and they're all friends of mine. They said, man, if we touch this, we'll lose everything we own. We don't even want, don't, please, for God's sakes, don't bring it into our court. But anyway, I got a question for you, caller. It seems to me like, and of course, you haven't quite said it yet, it seems to me like you were found guilty of willful failure to file, from what I can gather listening to you. You haven't said that yet, but. Have they hit you with any monetary damage yet, sir?
Yeah, basically they had to do a roundabout trick. The IRS never sent me a bill. They never even said, here's the dollar amount we think you owe. I was found guilty. The jury took all of 90 minutes, mostly to deliberate what to have for lunch. and then to rubber stamp the government's false accusation. And then I spent a year in a federal prison camp up in Canaan, or Waymark, Pennsylvania. It's called.
Well, let me stop you right there. You're also on appeal, too. And here within the last 3 or 4 weeks, I think it was late September, y'all had oral arguments, did you not?
Yep. So any day now, we'll be hearing from the Third Circuit Court of Appeals on the appeal, because everything's happened. We had oral arguments. Everything's filed. So we're just waiting to hear from them. So we did appeal it, even though I've already done the whole sentence.
Let me ask you, and then maybe Larry can address this too. If on an appeal you get this overturned, are you going to go back after them and possibly sue them for damages? And I'll just get off the line and let you guys continue on. Larry, I appreciate this. This has been a good show today. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it, Felix. Thanks for listening. Yeah, that's a very interesting question, Larkin. The movement is confronted with, what do we do? And, you know, I just look around the movement. We've got all these flaky arguments. You know, I've been plagued for years with, you know, people coming in and say, oh, you know, you can get rid of a criminal case by filing bankruptcy. That's advocated by Jimmy Holden out in Colorado Springs, Colorado. I've had that problem. And, you know, there's a lot of bad arguments that are floating around out there, and the bad arguments have given this movement a bad name. But the question is, you know, what do? We, in order to institute a suit, we got to first be in a position to prove the argument. What's your view on how we go from here, Larkin?
Yeah, I've always been of the opinion that the system is going to do the wrong thing. I've always viewed it as we need the people to know the truth, and to the people to, you know, if 100 million people knew they were being defrauded, you just couldn't keep up with it. And so the, you know, every once in a while somebody actually gets a victory in court. You know, a court every once in a while will do the right thing. But I've gotten so, you know, so cynical about that I'm not sure I'd bother to try to sue them, unless, you know, I'm still considering it, and I'll see if anybody thinks there's actually a chance to be successful at that. But I still fall back on it has to be the people who make the change, and they're not going to even know there's a change that needs to be made until they know what's going on, and they're not going to know what's going on until they start paying attention.
What effort is being made to distribute the Death by Deception video and the DVDs?
Actually, other people are doing that now because the court made it quite clear. This was their sneaky roundabout way to shut me up and rob me. The court made it clear that you darn well better have your websites down and better give the IRS a lot of money, or we're going to make your sentence really bad. It would have been 5 years instead of one. And, well, it was 15 months was officially, but it came down to one with good time and all that. And so basically I was coerced into shutting down my websites. The funny thing is, I've never actually run the websites. I don't know how to do that. Other people do that. So the Theft by Deception site is back up. It's not mine, and the profits don't go to me. They're still paying me off for a huge loan I did for the mini CD project to get that going. But that's just a payback, but it's not going to me anymore. Other people are running it, and other people are distributing it. But I basically said, I don't care. Just get it out there. I don't care if I'm getting the money. You have my permission to get it out there. I'm not allowed to do it, but they can't exactly make you take it down. I couldn't if I wanted to, and I don't want to, and I have no intention of doing that.
Was there a website associated with this?
Theftbydeception.com is the one for that video. 861.info used to have the mini CD. As far as I know, that one's still in a coma. I think it refers people to Theft by Deception. But these are now run by other people, and eventually they will be back up, and my taxable income report, as you know, free. It's always been free, and it'll be up. You can actually get that for free on the theftbydeception.com website. If you look at the bottom, there's a link to the newer version of my report, which is free.
Let me stop. We got a break coming up. Is that 861.info?
Yes, 861.info instead of .com.
Okay. Stay tuned, folks. We got an interesting program here.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Berkeylight's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeylight, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeylight is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeylight, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. 9200.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept!
Well, folks, we're back. This is the last half hour of the Tommy Cryer Show. I'm Larry B. Kraft, his substitute host for today. My guest is Larkin Rose. And, Larkin, right before the commercial break, we were wondering about, gee, how do we get to the websites to find Death by Deception? May I make a suggestion?
Sure.
For our listeners, I don't use Google as a search engine. Go over to something like Dogpile or Yahoo and just type in Theft by Deception and the website comes up. Mm-hmm. Theft by Deception. It's the videotape, now on DVD, that Larkin first produced. So, Larkin, right before the break, we were on the topic of where do we go from here? What's it going to take in order to get the American people to wake up to what the government is doing?
Sort of ironically, I think a big help has been basically a Clinton presidency followed by a Bush presidency to make a lot of people very skeptical and very suspicious of their government who maybe weren't before. I mean, a lot of us have been for a long time and with good reason. But I think maybe a lot of the other things going on will make people think twice about just dismissing this. Oh, that's one of those tax protester things. And they might think, wait a minute, I wonder, you know, if there's something to this, and there's something to this, and there's something to this, maybe there really is something to that. And there, the issue continues to spread, you know, despite the fact that the federal government persecutes anybody it can find, you know, opening their mouth about it.
you know, now they're going after one of their own, Cherry Jackson. Although last time they went after one of their own, Joe Bannister, didn't turn out too well for the feds because he was acquitted. But they're just they're in major panic mode of, we have to crush anybody talking about this.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And it doesn't matter how much we have to lie and cheat and steal to do it. We have to shut them up at all costs.
All right. Larkin, let's take, we've got a caller, Betty from North Carolina. Manny, you got her on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Betty, how you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Can we answer some questions?
Yes, I'd surely appreciate a little insight. I feel that there is some power to the individual citizen if, as in the Browns case, we went to our local sheriffs and said, what would you do if these people came in and deceived this way? What is your response to this?
Now,
and then said, you know, you're the only elected enforcement official, and we're certainly going to work on this issue.
Larkin, you got a reply for that? Now, Betty, when you say you want the sheriff to do something about the federal law enforcement people that are in a county?
Yes, and the Browns is a magnificent example of using deceit.
Yeah, that's
and the
for
sheriff
sure.
going along with it.
Yep. Betty, let me tell you, I listened to my program this morning. There was with my co-host, Davey Kidd, and she had another writer, Evanson from News Reviews. He's got a law enforcement background. What's happening right now is, and I've seen this personally, federal law enforcement is coming in and trying to organize and put under one umbrella all law enforcement in this country. Let me give you an example. I was talking a couple of months ago to a former police chief in a little town east of Memphis. And this town was, you know, in the next county over, but, you know, Memphis is growing. And soon it becomes, you know, the little towns close to it are beginning to suffer from the urban problems. So this fellow was involved deeply in building the city hall, building the police station, organizing everything from he grew up in the neighborhood. He became chief of police. But he was, he pulled himself up by the bootstrap. He was self-taught. You know, he just did it himself. But he was a very strong Second Amendment advocate. He would go to these state meetings of law enforcement officials and talk about the rights of the people. You know what that resulted in? He got indicted over some of the most picayune stuff. You know, like he had bought an engine for, I think, electronic power in the case of emergencies. They didn't want to use it, so he sold it. And the indictment was for violating the law about selling an engine. So they're just going around and picking on people. What I see right now is a big problem. You've got all this big money power. All the big money is in federal law enforcement, and they're now approaching the state and local law enforcement, giving them money and getting it all under organized under one big, giant, countrywide umbrella. And that's the big problem that we've got. Larkin, you want to answer her question?
Yeah, I do think if there's one, you know, if there's one sort of bright point here is that some of the things the feds are doing are starting to annoy the state-level law enforcers and stuff, and the state-level legislatures, like the Real ID Act. A lot of states are saying, wow, we don't want that. And pieces of the Patriot Act are saying, well, that's stupid and unconstitutional. We're not going to do that. And so, yeah, there is this big tendency that the federal government wants its tentacles in everything. It wants to control everything. And I think, you know, the idea of a sheriff who has a lot of power in his own county, if we actually had sheriffs on our side who would tell the federal, you know, all the agents from all the alphabet agencies, you know, you don't come in here without my permission, and I'm not going to give you my permission unless you actually show that you have some legal authority to do so, that would be huge. But I think that, you know, law enforcement, just like anybody else, suffers from the idea that things must be the way I think they are. They must be the way everybody thinks they are. And they don't want to think outside the box, especially when their career is on the line, their reputation is on the line, their income is on the line, and maybe their freedom is on the line. Because
like you were just talking about, the government will do anything it needs to retaliate against people. I mean, I was just watching the a good video. I'm glad to finally see it on YouTube about Randy Weaver's case and the fun he had with the feds murdering members of his family and things like that. They did the same thing as you're going to do what we want, or we're going to make up some legal excuse to come after you. And it's so transparently evil that it's not like, oh, we caught you breaking the law. It's you're going to do what we say, or we're going to catch you breaking the law. We don't care if you are. We don't care how hard we have to look for some weird law. You know, we'll make up a crime if we can't find one, but I bet we can find one because there's so many obscure little laws that nobody can keep track of them. It's gotten to be such a basically terroristic system where they have so many ways to be a pain in the neck to people they don't like. You know, there's all the talk of through the Nixon era, he would use the IRS to harass his political enemies. And to me, the news was that it came out. I expected every president, you know, for the last 100 years at least, has done that sort of thing. You know, if I don't like you, I'm going to send out my enforcers to find something wrong you did and punish you. And it's scary to be in a country where they do that. But if the local sheriffs who are, you know, who can be local and can be more responsive if they open their eyes and dare to stand up, if you can
how are they going to do that if the citizens don't hold them accountable?
Yeah, and they won't. It has to be a citizen.
I mean, we're
influence.
Empowered to hold them accountable.
Right. And I'm afraid that the people, for the most part, don't. They just sort of, you know, they think they believe the media. They believe what they're told. And so they sort of vote for run-of-the-mill standard, you know,
well,
generic
it'd
law
be,
enforcement.
It'd be different, you know, if we had a populace that was proactive.
Yeah, certainly.
You know, that's a big problem we've got in this country. A lot of people see the problems, but you try to get somebody to do anything about it, it's next to impossible.
Right.
Well,
you know,
well informed are the people about the sheriff's authority?
I think they probably have no idea. I don't even think most people know that there's a difference between the federal government and the state and the sheriffs and all that.
Isn't that our responsibility to bring that out? Particularly with the Brown case so close.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do with programs like this, is wake people up.
Yep.
And the other thing is that the sheriffs, along with the other people I've noticed on the Internet, are any agency that declares a state of emergency, then they get jurisdiction. Anybody, you know, who is an enforcement officer gets jurisdiction any place they want it. And that's martial law.
Right.
Hey, I think we're already there. Well, hey, Betty, we got another caller.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling in. And listen again next Saturday with Tommy Crier on. We have another caller from Massachusetts, I believe. Is that not correct? You online with us, Jeff?
Yes, I am.
What's your question for Larkin or me?
Well, it's a couple of different things. One is about Tommy Crier. I know that he won his case, and I was just wondering, did they ever come after him civilly?
As of yet, no.
They haven't. Okay,
no.
Well, that's very interesting. Next is, I want to go after, basically, I want to try to stop my employer from withholding from me. And, you know, I've done a lot of research myself, and under 3402 and 3401 with the definitions, I was trying to... I'm going to be trying to get them to stop withholding from me based on that. Is there anything else that I should try besides giving definitions of what withholding is?
Can I throw in my two cents? And this is coming from this is using lawyer thinking.
Sure.
You know, there's a lot of important issues that affect a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always thought that the issues that affect everyone would be of interest to everyone. Experience has taught me the exact opposite, however. The only issues that people are willing to, get involved with are the issues that affect themselves. Even though those issues that affect themselves, you know, affect a whole lot of other people. You know, I think it's wise for us to carefully plan what we're going to do. We need, you know, there's a thing known as critical path planning. And when you devise a critical path, you know, let me give you an example of critical path planning. A contractor building a house, he knows how to build a house and have all the supplies that are going to go into the building of the house arrive on the site at a certain time, and he has all the manpower there to perform the tasks as they are needed. If you engage in war, you got to have an objective first, and then you got to sit down and completely plan it. You know, getting something planned in this movement is real difficult because everybody's got a multitude of different ideas about what we don't want to do. I think that, you know, like withholding is critically important, but I see people drop a lot of good issues that we need to pursue. You know, I think we need to carefully plan what we're going to do about withholding. We need to institute suits, declaratory judgment actions. Friendly employer and a friendly employee engage in a declaratory judgment action in certain states that have got good precedents and raise the issue, and these should be well-planned cases. I think we need a lot of people coming together to pursue that type of civil litigation in addition to carrying out political activities like participating in Truth Attack.
I actually participate in Truth Attack as well and donate and am doing some of the other things that they're asking us to do.
Larkin, I did see
Larkin's video the other night on either YouTube or Google video. Extremely well done, extremely well presented. I'm not on board with the 861 argument, but I still think it was extremely well done. And I do have a lot of respect for Mr. Larkin for standing up and taking on the beast himself. So I guess the next part of my question that you kind of hit on, Larry, was how do you institute a suit against the IRS?
Let's concentrate on this employment tax issue that you're talking about. You want to do something with your employer. Now, if you go into if you litigate and you go into a jurisdiction that's got bad precedents, that's making your battle an uphill climb. Mm-hmm. I think you have to pick a jurisdiction where you want to go. This is called forum shopping. You know, you need to go to the jurisdiction and institute suit where you get the most favorable precedents. I think Florida would be an excellent place to institute a suit. Now, you know, you're interested in your particular situation regarding withholding, but you would benefit, everyone would benefit from a well-planned attack on withholding that consequently it's carried out in the best place possible. And the purpose is done to secure a favorable decision. And once we get that favorable decision, then that has a favorable effect upon everyone in America. And to me, that's the right way. That's using legal planning to accomplish a goal. That's what I'm advocating. And I think Tommy Cryer's on board with me in this respect about carefully planning a lawsuit to achieve an objective using critical path planning.
So is this in the works?
Yeah, well, I've talked to a lot of people for a long time about trying to get this accomplished. I think what you ought to do is to get in touch with Tommy.
Okay.
I know that he's right now he is down in Florida. He's got a case, and I think it's on Monday, and maybe he might be back Monday night, maybe back on Tuesday morning. But you ought to give Tommy a call and sit down and talk about this because you know he's looking for people to get involved in a lawsuit regarding withholding.
Okay, great. I will do that, and if I have to, I'll fly down to Louisiana and meet with him.
Yeah, Truth Attack. That's what we need.
I'm on board.
Good enough. Well, hey, Jeff, thanks for calling.
Okay. Bye-bye.
So, Larkin, hey, we've got just less than 15 minutes left in this program. Let me just tell you, I've read a recent book that you've written. And I think you need to talk to this audience about the book that you have written and the one that you say that you got in the works.
Yeah, the one that's out there now, the website is tyrantbook.com, is called How to Be a Successful Tyrant. Subtitle is The Megalomaniac Manifesto.
It's a good one, too.
And it's just what it sounds like. It's describing how to be a tyrant in modern times because you can't just do it with brute force anymore. You know, in this country, when you got somewhere around 80 million people with guns, you can't just be a thug because it's too easy to shoot you. So you have to be more creative in how to oppress and control people. And it really is written as a how-to book, although, of course, you know, my goal is not to have more tyrants. It's actually to have the victims of tyrants understand the tricks that are used against them. Because people, they fall for the same tricks that tyrants have been using for millennia. And the book even has a lot of quotes, you know, some back from Plato and things like that, talking about here's how tyrants trick and oppress people. And it's so sad to me how people basically are enslaved by being tricked. It's not even like, you know, you don't have a big group of free people that gets taken over by this invading army. You just have a bunch of decent people who are just duped by a liar, and they agree to their own enslavement. And this book explains, you know, how it's done.
Well, let's talk about that after this commercial break, folks. We've got just a few minutes left of this program, but don't abandon us. Stay tuned.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself, absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of micropore filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Folks, we're back from that commercial break. Hey, Larkin, during the break, Manny told us we got a call from Mark from Nevada. Let's take that real quick before we conclude the program.
Sure.
Mark, you there?
Hello, Larry. Can you hear me?
Sure can.
All right, my friend. I met you first when you were here with Bill Benson at the Showboat Hotel back in the
80s. Yeah, boy, that was, that's 17 or 18 years ago, Beth.
Well, yeah, and I followed every step of Larkin all the way. You know, we're living under one of the most deceitful, devious governments and everything that we call our own, which is not our own. The United States government is a foreign corporation to a state. That's CJS. That is Title 28. United States means a federal corporation, period. Now, the most important part of this, as the Supreme Court says, and the maxim of law says, the principal part is the beginning. The principal part of every case is the beginning. So let me ask you a simple question. What was your political status at birth?
Who are you posing that to?
Either one of you.
Well, I'll answer. I was born here in Gadsden, Alabama, so that makes me a citizen of the state of Alabama, and I've been a citizen of the state of Alabama ever since.
Okay, and where can you prove that from?
I use my birth certificate for that, and I'll also tell you that I've engaged in a search. I have probably the best collection throughout the entire United States statutes at large because I have organized volumes 1 through volumes 120 of the U.S. statutes at large into searchable text so I can find all the words that I want. And I've gone through all 50 United States codes, and I've delineated certain words. And to me, there's a big difference between a citizen and a resident and a citizen and a person. And from this study...
I'm only talking, Larry, about your political status at birth. I'm not talking about citizenship. Your political status at birth is very specifically delineated in the United States government style manual. It's right in any law dictionary you want to look up. I will give you, for instance, nationality. Remember, the question was, what was your political status at birth?
Well, you know,
we're right. Nationality, the quality or character which arises from the fact of a person's belonging to a nation or state. Nationality determines the political status of the individual, especially with reference to allegiance, while domicile determines his civil status. Nationality arises either by birth or naturalization, period. So a person's political status is absolutely critical. If you go to the United States Style Manual, you will find, and they put it in a very interesting place under spelling, but it has to do with nationality. It's at section 522 of the Style Manual. And it says, very, very specifically, hold on just one second.
Well, I'm familiar with you. Are you going to advocate that having a capitalized name makes...
I'm not into any of that at all, Larry. As a matter of fact, you're the one that set me out with your talk with Bill Benson down there at the showboat. I didn't know anything about any of this stuff. I knew I didn't know. So I had to start at the beginning. The principal part is always the beginning. So I had to start at my beginning. Who was I at birth? All right? And this is very important. If you go to 73, page 73 on the United States Style Manual, it says nationalities. The table beginning on page 233 shows forms to be used for nouns and adjectives denoting nationality. And designating the natives of the several states, the following forms will be used. Alaskan, Arizonian, Arkansasian, Californian, Coloradoan. This determines your political status at birth, and it's very, very unique.
Well, hey, Mark, it's unfortunate you called in right here at the very end of the program. I hate to cut you off, but we're just about the end, and I thought I heard the music coming up. Why don't you call back?